Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of the Lord to us today. Lord, I believe that you have a specific word for us as a body. And I pray, Father, that you'd help me, Lord, to deliver it, to speak it, to share it as you'd have me to. I pray, Father, for hearing ears, open hearts to receive from the word of God. Father, I ask you for understanding, that the Holy Spirit would cause us to perceive, cause us to be able to grasp and understand what you're saying to us this morning. Lord, that this seed of the word of God will bring forth a great harvest, a fruitful harvest in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I want to speak to you about harvest time. About 4 years ago, I shared a message with this church that it was springtime. And I just want you to understand that there are spiritual seasons that happen in a church. In fact, I want to kind of talk about those spiritual seasons and remind you of how that happens. But we as individuals go through spiritual seasons in our lives sometimes, but also church goes through spiritual seasons. Genesis 8:22 says that while the earth remains, there's seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Now, I think that tells us a little bit about the stability of our climate and our world that God has created. But I don't think that that verse is in there just to let us know something about the climate. I think there's something else here also, that it's to help us to understand that seasons are part of life. I want to share with you, just kind of give you an overview about the four seasons that we go through, both in our lives individually, personally, but also as a church. There's a spiritual autumn. It's a time of transition, loss, uncertainty. It is a time to scale back and to gather in. Growth slows to an eventual halt as winter approaches. There's a spiritual winter. It's a time of difficulty, discouragement, restriction, severity, even death. There is a lack of fruitfulness, and it can be a barren and hard season. You ever been through one of those times spiritually? There's spiritual spring. It is a time of newness, freshness, excitement. Things begin to bud out and to grow. And there is spiritual summer. It is a time of abundance. It is a time of growth and reaping, a time of harvest. It's harvest time. And I'm telling you that for this church, we are entering into harvest time. There was a time for a number of years, in fact, this church endured a long spiritual fall and spiritual winter. Let me just spell this out for you very simply what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that God wasn't moving or blessing here, but what I'm saying is that we had close to 25 years where numerically we were declining. That's hard. We scaled back. There were times where I'm not going to say that we didn't have any fruit, but what I'm saying is that in the big picture of things, that's not fruitfulness. That's a time of spiritual winter even. But about 4 years ago, I really believe that things turned around, that God brought us out of that spiritual winter and into a spiritual springtime. It was a time when things began to bud, things began to grow. We entered into new things, fresh things. We did some things that were new and different and, in fact, not done before. But I want you to understand this, that it is necessary for us to go through the seasons of autumn and fall, fall and then winter many times, because that is how we let go of things of the past and get ready for the new things that God wants to do. And I'm talking about church, but I'm also talking about in your personal lives. You know, we enjoy those spiritual seasons of spring and summer, but I'm telling you, the fall and winter seasons are valuable also to our spiritual growth. Ecclesiastes 3:1-4 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, There's a season for uprooting and tearing down. That's not fun. Church, we've been through that. That's in the past. There is a season for building, for growth, for planting, for reaping. And I'm telling you that now we are in a season for building. Not just building a building, but we are in a season of growth for this church. It is a season, it's a harvest time. When we go through a spiritual winter, it's discouraging. And I'm talking about as a church, but also personally. And I want you to understand about the seasons because, listen, it's not all harvest time. But also, you need to understand about the seasons because for us to really understand how powerful harvest time is, see, for us to get to harvest time, you had to have gone through some of those other times. And it's that way in our personal spiritual lives. Also, you know, looking back now, I understand more. When you're going through a hard time, it's difficult, it's discouraging, and we don't understand why. Sometimes looking back, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But when you're in a difficult time spiritually, listen to me, this is what you got to do. You keep walking by faith. You keep praying. You keep looking to the Word of God. And you remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit because He will lead you through that difficult time. You see, I want to make the point now. When I say lead you through, that means lead you out. Because you're not supposed to stay there. You're not supposed to stay in spiritual winter. But a lot of people do. Let me tell you a very typical scenario. Now, this could happen 100 different ways, but here's one of the most typical scenarios of how people enter into a spiritual winter and stay there. Things happen. They get hurt. They get bitter and resentful, and they get out of church. And they lock themselves into a spiritual winter until the day that they allow the Holy Spirit to bring forgiveness in their heart and healing and restoration. Until that happens, they stay in that spiritual winter. I'm telling you, we're living in a society, a whole lot of people that spiritually are in the winter. They're not in a time of great blessing and joy and harvest. They're in a hard place. And they stay there. And I'm just telling you that how long we stay in a spiritual winter is determined by the choices and the decisions that we make when we're there. Keep praying, stay in the Word, and keep being sensitive to the Holy Spirit because He'll bring you out of that time. But you know, when you talk about winter, a lot of times we talk about winter in the natural. You know, we have a mild winter. Well, some of us like that just because we don't like the bitter cold and all that bad weather. But, you know, the farmers know that we need some good hard freezes. Now, all of us, we like to get rid of the bugs, right? But it's really critical for the farmer because he knows that without some hard freezes, that there will be bugs that will destroy part of his harvest. And I'm telling you that sometimes we have to have some winter to get rid of some bugs in our life. There are some things that many times, you know, if everything's always just rose, isn't it amazing how we'll just roll on with things as they are and not deal with issues? But you see, it is those hard times sometimes that bring us to a place where we really deal with issues. And listen, it prepares us for greater fruitfulness. If those bugs are allowed to remain, it will destroy and hinder, at least, our fruitfulness. You got to kill off the bugs during the winter or they overtake the crop. So what could those bugs be in our life? Well, could be anything that's sinful, unhealthy, compromise, pride, anything that will hinder your fruitfulness. Mentioned this one already, but it's one that all of us have to deal with is, listen, hurt is universal. happens to all of us. In fact, all of us do it. We may not mean to, but all of us at times hurt one another. And we all need to understand how that unforgiveness will render you fruitless. It will keep you from moving into the things that God wants to do in your life. Anger and resentment keep you from moving forward to spiritual spring and on into summer. I'm telling you, nothing can kill fruit faster in your life. And I'm talking about spiritual fruit than anger, resentment, unforgiveness. Those things have to die off before you can really have a springtime with new things budding out until so that you can enter into a time of great growth and fruitfulness. It's not just bad things always that need to die off. There are even things that were once a blessing in our past that sometimes need to die off so that we can enter into new things. I just want you to think about that for a second. Before you can enter into new things, sometimes there are things that need to die off. It may have been a blessing to you in the past, but if we're going to enter into new growth and fruitfulness, I'm telling you, there are going to be things in the past that we have to leave behind. Reach forward to the things which are before. Otherwise, we find ourselves camping out in a spiritual winter because we weren't willing to let go of those things. Now, you can see this very clearly in the history of the church in America in the last 100 years. Churches that cling to man-made traditions fade and die away. Only those that are willing to change and move with what God is doing today continue to thrive and to grow. In fact, right now, one of the strangest trends is that so many of the fast-growing churches, churches that are reaching a lot of people and having a great harvest, they are new churches. Why is that? Because they don't have those man-made traditions of the past and they're moving forward in what God is doing right now. But of the churches that have been around for a while, listen, the vast majority of them are in decline. Why is that? Why is it that they're not able to move on into a spiritual spring and on into a spiritual summer because they're still clinging to things of the past? I just want to give you a very, I guess, pointed example this morning. It's so pointed, in fact, it's just easier for me not to talk about it, but I feel like that it's something that we need to talk about, and it's a transition that we've been through. Remember when I talked about the spiritual autumn and winter, there's transition, there's scaling back, and those things are not fun. And we as a church, now some of you know this because you lived it, and some of you are newer to the church, so this will be a little bit of church history of Grace Church for you, but after the church was in decline, really, for almost 25 years, we got ready to move from our old location. Now, that's a hard thing for some people. Some people could not let go of the old building. And guess what? They're not here. But then an even greater transition happened, and that was is that we went from a traditional Sunday school program to using small groups to grow and disciple people. Now, here's the strange thing about that. You know, I don't know that we could have done it if we weren't forced to. And what I mean by that is when we left our old building, we were forced to do that because we couldn't have a full-blown Sunday school program like we had done before. And I say, I don't know if we could have because there was such a resistance to that of wanting to cling to that tradition. And I know that even now, some people are thinking, tradition? Wow, that's a God thing. Let me just tell you something. The church survived for almost 2,000 years without the word Sunday school. Sunday school is a relatively new thing, and it was something that God used miraculously from the 50s on up through about 1990 or so. It was miraculous how that God used that to grow the church. But understand this. Small groups, people meeting together in homes, is not just a method that's lasted for 50 or 100 years. It is something that has lasted since the first church. It's always been going on. But here's my real point I want to make to you, is that, you see, a lot of people couldn't let go of that. They hung on to that. They clung to that. They couldn't let it go. And guess what? They couldn't move into what God is doing now. I had people tell me, well, Sunday school is more important than church. More important than the church? What are you saying? More important than a worship service? But here's my point to you. I just want you to understand that we got to be willing to let go of the things of the past if we're going to step into the things that God is doing now. And it's been a difficult transition. But listen, God is blessing. Things that begin to bud and begin to grow. And God is blessing. It has just been recently that some people, listen, some of you, you know, it's taken you 6-7 years to get on board with the small groups, with growth groups. But it's finally happening. Praise the Lord. And it's just been a hard transition. But church, we are moving into a spiritual summer, a harvest time. It's an exciting time. You know, another way, I talked a lot about how that our church has been through some difficult transitions and how it's difficult to leave the past behind. But another issue that comes to mind is that with new people coming into the church, a lot of times when you've been a part of another church, it's hard to let go of the way it was at that church. You know, there was one man who came to the church here for a while, a few years ago. He came to the church for a while, and he just could never, ever get to the place where he could really involve himself and really accept the church because he had left another church, and he looked at everything through the filter of the way his old church did it. And nothing else ever measured up. And I have to tell you, as a pastor, I've seen that happen over and over again where somebody had great times of blessing and spiritual experiences in one church. And then they go, you know, because they moved or something, they start looking for another church. And they never, ever find one that's just like their old church. And let me tell you, they are locking themselves into a spiritual winter because they're not able to leave the past and move on to the things that God wants to do in their life now. So however it happens, we need to realize that there is a springtime, a time to move forward. It's time of new beginnings. And some of you might be in a place right now where you just need to let go of some things and move on into some new things. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" Like the way the NIV says it, it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" He says, forget the former things. I'm telling you, church, we can't focus on the past and be moving on into what God wants to do in our lives today. We, as a church, emerged from a spiritual winter 4 years ago. And I've said it already, but I want you to understand that 4 years ago, things began to change. Things began to bud out. After about 25 years of decline or just holding our own, we began to grow. Now, I mentioned doing new things. One of the things that happened 4 years ago, well, we started getting our building plans together. Took a long time, didn't it? But another thing that happened 4 years ago, you talk about being willing to do something different. We mailed out about 35,000 DVDs. Now, I don't know of another church that's done that. It's crazy. And especially the church our size and of our great financial status to spend $50,000 or somewhere close to that to mail out 35,000 DVDs. And you can argue about what it's worth, but I'm telling you, if it reached one soul, it's worth $50,000. But the truth is that it was a part of what God was doing in bringing us into a spiritual springtime where we were moving forward and budding out and growth would begin to happen. And I believe that it was at that point. Now listen, I'm not giving credit to the DVDs. I'm giving the glory to God. But I'm telling you that God uses things at different times in different ways. And if we're not willing to leave the past ways behind and move on into new things, we miss it. But as we were willing to obey God in that and step out in faith and take that step, God began to bring about a real change in this church where we began to grow and reach people, reach even unchurched people, and seeing a harvest come in. And since that time, 4 years ago, we have been in a season of budding out and new growth. Since then, 4 years ago, at this time, 4 years ago, we did not have a youth pastor. Today, we have a youth group that runs 50 on Wednesday night. There are churches of 500 that don't have 50 kids to come out to a worship service. I'm just telling you, it is an awesome thing what God is doing in our church and our young people. Now, just recently, you know, we've had one of those transition times with our children's department, but it is exciting to me how that God is raising up new children's workers, where He's putting it on people's hearts to get involved and make it excellent. Carmen had someone come to her just this past week or so and said, you know, I believe God wants me to do the nursery for the Blitz. We didn't have to call and beg and, oh, anybody, is there anybody living, any breathing person out there willing to watch? No, somebody, God put it on somebody's heart. I'm just telling you that God is blessing that. And I believe that we are about to see a great harvest in our children's program. Our growth groups right now, most of them are busting at the seams. We need more leaders. I'm praying for laborers, for new leaders for the fall semester that's coming, that we're going to have a lot of new groups. Because right now, most of our groups, you know, the goal size for growth groups or small groups is 10 to 12. Most of them are running 17 or 18. I'm just telling you, we are growing. It's being blessed. It is a time of growth. It is a time of harvest that we are moving into. But understand this. There are things that have to be pruned away. John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, Jesus says, I'm the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. What's the point of the pruning? It's so that we can bear even more fruit. And we need to understand this. When we try to hang on to the past and the things that maybe used to work or we used to do or the way it used to be, it prevents us from becoming more fruitful. We get pruned. Why do we get pruned? So we'll be even more fruitful. Now here's a big part of putting the past behind. That's the hard part. It's being willing to let go of the past, but also, listen, it is so that we can embrace new things. Here's a fact of life. Here's something you can count on. Things are going to change. And what we need to realize is that when things change, God gives us an opportunity to move on into new things, exciting things. Not to hang on to the things of the past, but to move on in what God is doing now. Don't cling to the things of the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. That's what He says. And I'm telling you, as a church, we've got to be willing to move forward. It's spiritual summer. It is harvest time. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful. Notice this. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest, send out laborers into His harvest. First of all, I want you to see that when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. We need to ask ourselves this morning, what do we see when we look out at the world around us and we see the multitudes? We see that they're a mess. Do we see that they are sick, that they're bound? Do we see that they are lost, that they are searching and looking? I think it grieves the Holy Spirit when we act like Pharisees and we take on that attitude of judgment and criticism. I see a lot of angry Christians right now. They don't look at the world with eyes of compassion. They're not moved with compassion when they look at the world. But instead, they stand in judgment and criticism and anger. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus, when He looked out at the people, they were such a mess. But He was moved with compassion for them. Church, we need to be moved. I'm telling you, we are in a day of great harvest. But we've got to be moved with compassion, not just stand back and point our finger. People are hurting, searching, looking for answers. Jesus said that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And I'm telling you, we are living in a time where that is so true. People are just wandering aimlessly. You know, it's the blind following or leading the blind and following the blind. And just, they need a shepherd. They need somebody to lead them. They need somebody to show them the way. Now I'm telling you, church, we need to realize the potential, the opportunity that's before us right now. See, we look at the world and we say, oh, how bad things are. Do you realize that this is a great time of harvest? As things get worse in our world, the darker it gets, the brighter we shine, the more that people, listen, they're sick, they're bound, they're hurting, they're searching. We got the answer. It's a great harvest field. And I want you to hear this now. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. Old dead religion, you know what that says? They always say, oh, it's hard to reach anybody. Listen, that's a lie from the pit of hell to paralyze you and keep you from being fruitful for God. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. Don't dispute the words of Jesus. He says there's nothing wrong with the harvest. It's plentiful. There's lots of people that are ready. It's plentiful. And I'm telling you, it is a trick of Satan. You see, he gets us in that negative mindset. We need to break out of that. We need to become harvest-minded. It's harvest time. There is a plentiful harvest. Get that down in your spirit. There's lots and lots of people that need the Lord. Lots and lots of people that are ready. Some of you, it's going to be so easy. All you have to do is say, hey, would you come to church with me? They're going to go, yeah. Some of you, you just open your eyes and begin to see people with compassion. You're going to see people in need, and it's going to open the door for you to just begin to share the Lord and talk to them and tell them what God has done for you. But we need to see that Jesus said very plainly, the harvest is plentiful. The problem is, He said, is the workers are few. Harvest time. When we see someone living in sin, does it just disgust us, or are we moved with compassion? You know, in this world we live in is so busy, and here in a metropolitan area, we pass by so many people every day, but we have to be careful that we don't get to the place where we don't ever see people. We don't ever see the hurting and the needs of people. Jesus looked at the multitudes, and He was moved with compassion. Jesus didn't ignore the multitudes. In church, we can't just ignore our society. No, we got to be moved with compassion for people and let God use us. We need to remember the harvest is great. There are people out there who are ready. Now, there's a similar passage in John chapter 4 I want us to go to. It's the story of Jesus ministering to a Samaritan woman at the well. The Samaritan woman who had had five husbands, and she's now living with a man. Now listen to this. Jesus didn't condemn her. He didn't criticize her. He didn't tell her how bad she was. He talked to her about living water. Because he saw in her, see, he saw past the sin. How immoral was this woman? She's had five husbands and she's living with a man. But he saw past all that and he saw a woman who was thirsty. And I'm just telling you that we need to learn to see past the outside and see what the need is. Be moved with compassion for people. And as Jesus is ministering to this Samaritan woman, it's so strange that for a Jewish man to be talking to any Samaritan, much less a Samaritan woman, but the disciples come back from town with lunch. And they ask him, they say, or they tell him, they say, Master, eat something. We're going to pick the story up in John 4:32. And he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. And as many times as I have read and studied and preached this passage, I missed a phrase here over and over. You do not know. I never saw that before, that Jesus tells them, I know, I've always seen that he was telling them, hey, I got some food that you don't know about, but I missed that he's telling them, I've got food that you guys don't know about. And what is that food? They're like, well, who brought him something to eat? Jesus says to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Here's the food that they didn't know about. I'm telling you about something that brings satisfaction, fulfillment, joy in your life. It is to do the will of him who sent us and to finish his work. And when we do that, I'm telling you, oh, we find such great fulfillment. You see, Jesus didn't even care about lunch because there was something so much more important. Read on, it says, verse 35, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. See, it's time. We don't say someday. We're not saying down the road, maybe. No, we're saying today is the day. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. He tells them in verse 35, he says, lift up your eyes. The NIV says, open your eyes. But he tells the disciples, look at the fields. Open your eyes. What are they looking at? They're looking at lunch. They're looking at the right here, right now, my needs and what's going on with me. I'm hungry. I'm going to eat. Jesus is saying, get your eyes off of your own selfish needs and look at the harvest. And I believe this is such a critical message for the church of the Lord Jesus today in America, where it's been all about me. Church, we got to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto a world that is hurting and dying and lost and bound. Stop being the church that's standing in judgment of the world and instead be the church that's reaching out with the arms, the love of Jesus, with compassion for people. Oh, if we just see them as a harvest that's ready. Jesus said, lift up your eyes, look at the fields. They are white for harvest. It's ready, church. We're so much like the disciples most of the time, where we're consumed with our needs, our financial needs, our health problems. Listen, problems in our family, at our job, at school, and what's going on with me. And I want to tell you, that if you read the Bible, you will never see where the Lord Jesus had all these needs and all these problems that we do. In fact, the Apostle Paul went through so many things, but you know what? It was never an issue. You know why? Because they were busy doing his work, finishing his work. And God takes care of all the rest. And I'm just telling you, If we'll seek first the kingdom of His righteousness, He'll add all those other things to us. We've got to quit being so focused on lunch, on our little problems and our things. And this, I don't mean to minimalize those things. And I don't mean to be judgmental of you in any way. I'm talking to me too today. I hope you understand that. But I'm just saying that there are people that are lost and people that are hurting far more than us. Listen, we need to lift up our eyes and look on people with eyes of compassion and reach out to people. There's a great harvest, but we got to change. Listen, if we're going to move into spiritual summer, into this harvest time, we've got to change. It can't just be about us. No, we've got to lift up our eyes and look at the fields. They're white unto harvest. You might be somebody who's very young in the Lord, and you might be saying, well, how can I lead somebody else? How can I minister to somebody else? Well, consider the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman who's had five husbands and she's living with a man. And she goes back into town, and she brings the whole town out to see Jesus. Wow. Listen, she wasn't a student of the Word of God. She's just some woman living with some guy. How does this work? Because she said, come and see. And you might not be very spiritual. You might be really young in the Lord. But if Jesus has done anything in your life, you can say, come and see. She said, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. You tell people what God has done in your life. You tell people, come and see. You invite people to church. Listen, who can you lead? Somebody that doesn't have what you have. And I'm just telling you, we can't allow the enemy to talk us out of being a worker, out of being a laborer. God can use any of us. He can use every single one of us. In fact, and listen to me, sometimes it's the woman at the well who can reach the most people. If one of the disciples would have gone into Samaria and say, hey, y'all should come out and see this guy, they probably wouldn't have had two people follow him. But I'm just telling you, you might be young in the Lord and you might not know much about the Scripture, but I'm telling you that when people see that God is doing something in your life, all you got to do is say, come and see. Come and see. Make up your mind that no matter what has happened in the past, that you're going to enter into this harvest field. It is a great spiritual summer, a time of reaping. Notice in that passage, Jesus says it is rejoicing. It is a time of rejoicing. This is an exciting time for Grace Church. And I am speaking this over this church. We are entering into a harvest time. A spiritual summer, I'm telling you. And if you get on board with that, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have great joy. You're going to come in rejoicing as you see lives change and you are part of that. It is going to be so exciting and so joyful for you. Jesus said, we are going to be reaping where others have sown. And I'm telling you, there's been a lot of people sowing for a lot of years. But it is time to reap a harvest. And those who reap and those who sowed all those years are going to rejoice together. Praise the Lord. But the need, Jesus said, is for workers. You got to be willing to lead. You don't have to answer out loud, but I want you to answer this question, at least to yourself and to God. Are you willing to lead? People out there need somebody. Sheep without a shepherd, they need somebody to show them the way. You can at least invite people to church. You can tell them what God's done for you. Jesus said, Matthew 28, go and make disciples. Again, you don't have to answer out loud, but please answer to yourself and God. Are you willing to go make disciples? Well, no, you know, I was just hoping to come to church and somebody help me, make me feel a little better. Come on, church. I'm telling you, there's a harvest that we need to reach out. We need to reach people, but we got to be willing to go. We got to be willing to make disciples. Get on board with this vision to reach people, to see a great harvest. I'm telling you, this is a church of changed lives. I see many, many, many changed lives. I see already, but I see a great harvest of changed lives coming in to this church. And I encourage you this morning, don't stay where you are spiritually. Enter into this harvest time. Lift up your eyes, get your eyes off of yourself, and begin to see how God wants to use you. Get your eyes onto the lives of other people. Look on those people with compassion. Or to see them the way that Jesus sees them. People who need the Lord. Many are just waiting for you to show them the way. Amen. Harvest time. Exciting time. It's coming. It's happening. It is now, church. I really believe this. It's now. But we need to be prepared for it. We need to be moving forward with it. Amen. And I've noticed, I want to spell this out for you because I want this to be something every person here gets. Listen to me. All of us have been through some difficult times in our life. You may be going through a difficult time right now. And in a few minutes, when our prayer partners come, I encourage you, if you're going through a battle or difficulty right now, you come and you let a prayer partner pray with you. But I also want to challenge every one of you to get into this harvest time. Don't stay where you are. Make up your mind that you're going to move in to new areas, that you're going to be willing to do something different. You're not just going to stay in the same old routine and the same old pattern, but you're going to break out of that. Let God use you in a fresh new way. Well, stand with me as we pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this church. I thank you, Lord, for the great harvest that's coming. Many, many people coming and lives being changed. Lord, I thank you for people being set free, for people being healed. I thank you, Lord, for people being saved, for people being filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, I thank you, Lord, for many disciples being made in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray this morning that you would put that down in our hearts. Oh, Father, that we will not be content, Lord, with the same old thing. But Father, we're going to move forward into this harvest field in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. I praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As I said a minute ago, if you're going through a spiritual winter right now or a time of difficulty and struggle, I encourage you to let somebody pray with you this morning. Let them pray with you that season is going to come to an end. Amen. That you're going to be able to move on. If you're sick in your body this morning or you want to pray for a loved one, whatever the need might be, our prayer partners are here to minister to you and to pray with you. But I challenge each and every one of you this morning to begin to pray. Pray the Lord send laborers into the field. And let's pray for that great harvest to come in. Well, church, I know that sometimes it gets comfortable for us to just leave things as they are. But we can't do that. We can't do that. That's not the heart of the Savior. I'm telling you, there's too many that need to know. There's too many that need to be free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so I challenge you this morning to just commit yourself to enter into this spiritual harvest time with us in Jesus' name. I'm going to dismiss the congregation. And as after we dismiss, if you want prayer, you just come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Lord bless you.